Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This week in Retronauts, it's a throwdown hoedown. Everyone, and welcome to, it's been a while since I've done one of these, but a live presentation for Retronauts at PAX West. I almost called it Prime because I'm still old. Hi, I'm Jeremy Parrish, one of the co-hosts of Retronauts, and that's a podcast where we talk about old video games, and some of the old video games we talk about often are Super Metroid and Castlevania Symphony of the Night, and by God, we're going to talk about them again. And with me here to also talk about them are some really cool people who are very funny and smart, and I'm just going to let them talk and stand here and basically have them do all the hard work.
Cool. I'm Mike Drucker. I'm a former writer for Nintendo, current writer for television.
I am Nadia Oxford. I am from US Gamer, and I am actually one half of the Axe of the Blood God RPG podcast.
Hey, it's Bob Mackey, and based on the size of this room, I think we're also going to announce the new Pope.
Actually, I think if they see white smoke at PAX Prime, they get upset. So please do not set anything on fire. So anyway, yes. Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us, even though it's kind of the end of the show. It's a weekday, and other things are happening around. I appreciate you coming here. And apparently, they're also streaming this on Twitch. So for the five of you who are out there watching this, hello. Thank you for your time. Please don't tune out. We want some concurrence. It's always great. But we are basically going to put together two of the greatest video games ever made and decide which one of them is the greatest video game ever made. This is not up for debate. Now, I have learned from doing extremely correct and good lists for Polygon that using superlatives is much more engaging for audiences than saying, which of these very nice games do we like slightly more than the other? So we're putting it in superlatives, which one is the best? And you are going to help me decide, and they are also going to help us decide. And so basically, let's just kind of give a rundown. What are these games? What is Super Metroid? Someone up here, talk. What is Super Metroid?
It's really more of an idea than a game.
Oh. It's a way of life.
It's a way of life.
Okay.
You guys go ahead.
I want to jump in. You seem like you're about to say something.
What is Super Metroid? Super Metroid is, gosh, it's almost like the start of everything. As much as I love Symphony of the Night, I have to give credit to Super Metroid for kind of having that core there, even though I know that Igarashi says he wasn't directly inspired by Metroid or Super Metroid. I just still kind of feel it in its blood.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was actually thinking in more concrete and less philosophical terms. Like, it's a game from 1994 by Nintendo.
Yeah. You have all that information in front of you. Yeah, it's an exploration game where
I don't want people looking at Wikipedia while they're listening to this. But yeah, okay, yeah. Anyway. So, great game, third game in the Metroid series, and like Nadia said, it is kind of the beginning of everything. There are so many indie games in this day and age that basically start with someone saying, I really like Super Metroid. That's it. That's where they go. And so if you've played an indie game in the past 6 or 7 years, you've probably played some variant of Super Metroid. So the flow and the rhythms of the game should be very familiar to you, although it may involve, you know, like Mexican wrestling or like, you know, saving the will-o'-the-wisps or something. But the spirit is there, the essence. And then, of course, there is Castlevania Symphony of the Night. Do you guys want to talk philosophically or concretely about that one?
Castlevania is a land of contrasts. it's another exploration game from 1997. Oh shit, I was right. 1997, and it's Castlevania, which was a series that they used to make.
According to the creator, it's actually a Zeldavania.
Exactly.
Yeah, a Zeldavania. Yeah.
That blew my mind.
I'm very excited. I'm going to be talking to him about that next week, and it's going to be the best interview of my life. So, as you may know, these games fall into a category that is known as Metroidvania. And I was surprised recently to learn that I invented the word Metroidvania.
Congratulations.
I don't remember doing that, but it said it on the internet, so it's probably true. I didn't see any note for a citation needed, so I think we're good. But actually, canonically, like realistically, in the true essence of things, Symphony of the Night is Metroidvania because it is a Castlevania game that has a lot of elements of Super Metroid in it. That's what Metroidvania kind of started out to mean. And then I mangled and abused it online, and now people just use it to mean, hey, you explore stuff, and sometimes you shoot colored doors, sometimes not. But both of these games follow a very similar structure. They are, in a lot of ways, kind of an attempt to take role-playing progression and character development and advancement and apply that to an action setting. And they do it in pretty different ways. Super Metroid is a game about shooting things in outer space, and Castlevania Symphony of the Night is a game about slashing things with a sword and... I don't know, what else does Alucard does a lot.
All kinds of things.
He transforms.
Sometimes he attacks and he goes, what? Yeah. Because he can't.
It's about fighting the cast of The Wizard of Oz.
You're right,
yes,
it is.
Yeah,
eventually.
That's how you get the best weapons.
I actually have a quick Symphony of the Night story. On my very first paycheck I got from my part-time job, I went and I spent it on Symphony of the Night and two South Park t-shirts. And I got a lecture from my mother about, like, you gotta spend your money more carefully. And it's like, well, okay, the South Park shirts, number one, didn't age well. Number two, they disintegrated in the wash. But I think Symphony was a good buy.
Nadia, I have a follow-up question for you.
Yes.
Was one of them a Respect My Authority t-shirt?
No, it was, okay. Oh my God, you killed Kenny.
Because I heard someone at this convention say in 2019, Respect My Authority.
Oh, poor guy.
And he was not arrested on site.
It's retro now, and according to our podcast,
that's cool. Yeah. 1999. It's back.
It's totally back this week. We're about to do a Dreamcast 20th anniversary panel, and Final Fantasy VIII is coming out this week. It's literally September 1999 right now. So please do respect our authority on this topic, Super Metroid versus Symphony of the Night. So panelists, where did you first encounter each of these games? I would love to know. I will go first, just to be fair. Super Metroid, I discovered in a magazine. Even though I loved Metroid and Metroid 2, I had no idea there was a sequel coming out because I fell out of touch with video games for like a hot minute. And that was just long enough for them to create a sequel to my favorite game to that point. And I said, holy crap, I need to be more in touch. And that started a long life wasted on games journalism. And Symphony of the Night, as if to prove that, was the very first video game I ever imported from Japan and played through in a language I did not understand at all. And I bluffed my way through and got to the end and then looked for hints online to get the real ending. And it was very satisfying, despite the fact that I was like, I don't know what these people are saying to each other, but they sound very angry.
They sound very serious about it.
Yeah. I think my first experience with Super Metroid, I was also a fan of the Metroid series, and then a Blockbuster video in my area was closing. And this was before they all closed. It was just a shitty area of Florida that had no business. And it was closing down, and I got on sale, like, used with, like, the Blockbuster sticker on it. I got Super Metroid Earthbound for, like, $5.
Holy shit, nice.
This was before anyone cared. It was before when Earthbound came out, and people were like, this looks like shit. And then no one played it. And then 20 years later, every indie game that's not based on Super Metroid is based on Earthbound.
That's true.
That was back when the only people who liked Earthbound were the weird kids on the internet.
Right.
Now run, like, a multi-million-dollar business about it.
Well, not
so,
that part.
Joke's on you.
Yeah. So I got that, and I got a bunch of Virtual Boy games, which did not age well. And Castlevania I got for Christmas that year, and I must have been 12 or 13 when it came out, and I remember like being like, Mom, you got to see this. It's like a cool horror film. And my mom said, I don't care.
Oh.
And she wasn't wrong, because she didn't care. And I can't imagine being a woman who grew up in the 60s and 70s hearing a little boy be like, okay, so you level up. Like, she was right.
I think I actually tried to show my mom the intro scene for Castlevania, like, die, monster, and she's like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, no, but pass.
I already gave you the story about like how I came into Castlevania Symphony of the Night. I actually told that story to Koji Igarashi. I got to interview him last year, and he seemed to appreciate it, so I'm pretty happy about that. But I actually, I picked up Castlevania because I've always been a huge Castlevania fan, so when I finally got the PlayStation, I got Symphony. Super Metroid is a little bit later in my life because I was never a big Metroid fan on the NES, and I skipped Super Metroid for some reason, and I didn't play it until I married my husband in 1999, I think it was. I can't remember my own anniversary, I'm sorry. And we kind of merged our video game collections, which is something that happens when you get married, and I'm like, oh, Super Metroid, I've actually never played this. And he said, well, you better get to that, or we're divorcing right now. So I played it, and I was, of course, enthralled. It's an incredible game.
I learned it by watching you, Jeremy. Super Metroid.
Damn it. I always tried to be a good father to you. I'm sorry.
I read the old school. I read a Toasty Frog, Jeremy's old website. Yeah. So you're writing lots of essays. We're all very old. You're writing lots of essays about Super Metroid and things like that. So in 1998 or 99, probably 20 years ago, the Sears still had their video game section. It was called Funtronics.
I remember that.
And it was surrounded by a bunch of like grandma blouses on big racks. So, but they're having a closeout. Like all of their SNES games were $10. And I think it was the summer of 99 where I fell in love with Super Metroid. And I wrote Jeremy an email about it. And he never responded.
Aww.
I'm calling him now on this panel. I think I've done this before on previous podcasts, by the way. But that's basically Jeremy got me to play Symphony of the Night and Super Metroid, so that's why I'm here right now. So,
in fairness, so many people wrote me emails back in those days.
It's true, and I think I even addressed
5 or 6 a year. It was.
I think I even addressed it to you as Toasty Frog.
That might have been it.
Or Mr. Frog.
Did you say T Frog? Because that is not acceptable.
No, only one man says that,
and that's not acceptable. All right, so anyway, now we've kind of laid the basis for this battle royale of two games. So it's like a 1/50th of a battle royale. And what we're going to do is we're going to be scientific. We're going to talk about different categories of quality. We have 30 minutes to do this. I'm sure it's going to work out. And we're going to, basically, everyone here is going to say, like, you know, which game comes out ahead. And at the end, the game that comes out ahead in the most categories that we get through is going to be declared the winner. And you can blog about it. You can wear T-shirts about it. You can tell your friends. This is definitive. Like, this is the deciding vote right here. So I want all of you to remember this moment because you are part of history.
Congratulations.
So let's just take a quick informal vote.
Whichever game loses, we erase from history.
Yeah, sorry. Choose carefully.
Your memories of that game will be gone as well.
We might unravel the entire fabric of indie gaming.
We can do it. We have the power.
All right, so informal poll. You folks have played these games, right? All right. Who prefers Super Metroid over Castlevania?
Oh, you people.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Ooh.
Wow. Who prefers Castlevania over Super Metroid?
Oh, still a lot.
See, it's also a lot.
I feel
gonna
some
be
people
tight, folks. These are two great games, but which one is the greatest? Well, I say we decide by first talking about the characters. These fine people here on the screen. On the left, you have Alucard, the son of Dracula. You can tell because his name is Dracula backward. And Samus Aran, who I don't know who her parents are, but
their names
she was
Rod
adopted
by
a giant bird.
So, I don't have parents. Sorry.
Go ahead, say again.
Her parents are named Rod and Virginia.
Is that from the comic?
That is from the comic.
Okay,
it is.
Okay, well, there you go. So Samus
Rob Aran,
Virginia.
Yeah, it wasn't a good choice.
All right, so which of these is a better character? Now, we're talking strictly about these games. We are not looking at the character assassination of Metroid Other M, and we're not looking at whatever the hell Alucard was in Lords of Shadow.
We're just
talking about Super Metroid and Symphony of the Night. So let's put it to the vote here. What do you panelists think of these characters? Which do you feel is the better expression of what you want from a video game?
I mean, they're both great characters, but when you look at them and you sort of balance them, only one of them has a name that's Dracula spelled backwards.
That's true.
So I got to go with Alucard.
So one for Symphony.
As much as I adore Samus Aran, you know, she was kind of the pinnacle of female game characters, so something that was very important to me. Castlevania's characters are so anime, and I still adore them so, so very much. I interviewed Koji Igarashi last year at PAX. I dead-ass looked him in the eye and said, I have shipped Maria and Alucard since I was 17 years old. And I don't think he knew how to respond to that, but I just had to tell him. So that's my answer.
He didn't usher you out of the room, though, did he?
What's that?
He didn't usher you out of the room, though, did he?
No, he should have. He had his whip. He could have hit me, like, with it. Like, he would have been in his right. He didn't do it.
All right, so that's two for Symphony. Bob, where do you stand on these characters?
I would say, superficially, Alucard is more beautiful.
Absolutely.
I'm staring at him right now. It's very distracting. Yeah. So I don't know what's going on in that power armor, but it can't be as good as Alucard.
I kind of agree.
So Symphony, then?
Yes, Symphony.
All right. Well, I'm going to vote for Samus because in the artwork for this, like the Nintendo Power artwork for this and the strategy guide is like the one drawing of Samus as a woman that I really am like, yeah, that's her. She's like 6.5 feet tall and made of pure muscle, and she's like operating this giant robot suit with just like the force of will. I'm like, that is a woman who can mess up all the space pirates.
You're not wrong. Yeah.
Why did that sound sexual?
What's that?
You're like, that's a woman who can mess up all the space pirates. And tonight I'm a space pirate.
I think you need to be online less. You're a little too internet right now.
What if Samus stepped on me with those big boots?
You'd be quite dead. But you'd be in
that's
heaven.
True.
It'd be a blissful
taking
death.
Away all your votes. All right. So they've had their say, but where do we stand? Let's just do a cheer vote so the people on Twitch can participate as well. So who prefers Samus over Alucard? My decibel meter says that's a lot. Who prefers Alucard over Samus? All right, I think Alucard and Symphony of the Night take this one handily. So that's one. But here's a more challenging one, music. Okay, actually, that's not challenging.
That's not challenging at all.
No.
I feel like Symphony of the Night kind of wins this one. And it's not even fair.
Yeah, because a lot of Super Metroid's music is just remixed Metroid music, right?
Just one or two tracks, but
still.
But then it has like the kind of weird like underground calypso.
Oh, that's true. That's
like,
true.
Oh, you're going deeper into underground. Here's some happy music.
Yeah, I gotta go with Symphony though.
Yeah, I'm definitely going with Symphony. The one thing I have against Symphony's music is in the Inverted Castle. You have maybe that was it called Final Something or other.
Final Tapioca.
Final Tapioca. They just play it incessantly, and it has a very like kind of strong beginning that gets very tiring to listen to when you transition from one room to the other.
So you're voting for Super Metroid then?
No, I am not voting for Super Metroid, because everything else about Symphony's music is just perfect, period.
I'm going to vote for Castlevania, because I'm playing Bloodstained now, and that soundtrack is just the Symphony soundtrack with one note change in every song.
I agree.
And we want it. We all love it.
It's perfect.
And where do we stand on Super Metroid's music? The three of you are very brave. Symphony of the Night? All right.
Running away with this.
That's two for Symphony. All right, all right, all right. So visuals. This is maybe less of a giveaway. I think Symphony of the Night is a very beautiful-looking game, has lots of really cool effects, really pushes the envelope of what you can do with 2D. But there is a consistency and an atmosphere about Super Metroid. And really, we should have made it about sound design instead of music, because the sound design of Super Metroid perfectly matches its visuals. Like the moody caverns and just the kind of atmospheric sound that you get when there's no music is it really kind of puts you in a place. And as much as I love the really detailed, vivid, semi-3D sprites that Symphony uses, I gotta go with Super Metroid on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go backward this time. Oh. Bob, I'm putting you on the spot.
In terms of music?
No, in terms of visuals.
Oh, visuals. I will say Super Metroid wins for having all new graphics. Mm-hmm. All original graphics.
Yeah.
I mean, Symphony wasn't that bad.
Symphony has the most graphics.
It has the most graphics, but yeah. I mean, it doesn't reuse that many graphics. It's not that many. You know, when you look at the percentage, if you put it in a centrifuge and spin out all the graphics, the amount of reused graphics in Symphony are really quite modest. It's just there's so many graphics, as Bob said.
I will say I love
the later Castlevania games.
I love Alucard's jazzy walk, but I also like the very subtle breathing animation with Samus.
Yeah.
And I feel like she's not trying as hard, so I'll give it to Super Metroid.
Samus is important, too, because she has non-mirrored sprites. She is...
That's right.
That's true.
With her right
that's very true.
Arm, and that's always where her bullets come out.
It's a bigger sprite, too, so...
That's right.
Better hero sprite.
I feel like, and this is sometimes a poor comparison, but I feel like playing Super Metroid now, we joke that it looks like indie games are based on it, but if you played it now on Steam, you'd be like, oh, this is a well-made indie game. And Castlevania is a little bit older feel to it, so I'd go with Super Metroid.
I'm going to go with Castlevania because Castlevania Symphony of the Night has some effects that really define what this castle is. Like, I'll never forget, you go into the depths and you go against the lava and you see Alucard's shadow, and the shadow of the enemies against the background is really creepy, is really awesome. I still find the chapel area to be really, really relaxing. You go into that confessional booth and sometimes get your ass speared, but it's always creepy and always fantastic. And the music that plays there is just so intimidating. I have to give it to Symphony.
All right, so who's going to stand up for Super Metroid in terms of visuals? Symphony of the Night? Going to have to get that one to Super Metroid. All right. So here's a more I don't know. I don't know how to describe this one. Abstract. The story of Super Metroid. There's not actually, and versus Castlevania, there's not much story in Super Metroid. You get a little text scroll at the front, and then everything kind of plays out through through the narrative that's built into the world. Whereas Symphony of the Night, every once in a while, someone is like, what's up, Alucard, invading the demonic castle? I've just been hanging out here for a while instead of fighting Dracula, and you know, just wanted to talk to you about how this castle's evil and stuff. How's it going? So that's, you know, two very different approaches to narrative.
Oi, monster.
Exactly. Okay, so Castlevania does have the better voice acting.
Super Metroid,
you just get a little taste of it, Dan Housen.
Yep.
Setting things up for you, whereas Symphony of the Night does have some incredible scenery chewing. It's maybe the best in gaming, no, but some of the best. I don't know. What do you guys think? Story, like, which narrative pulled you in? Nadia, I'm going to go ahead and guess it's Symphony of the Night for you if you actually ship characters. Not that there was a lot of shipping to be done in Super Metroid. If there was, I really don't want to know about it.
Yeah, I am going to give it to Symphony because just the story meant, it's so silly in anime. It meant so much to me when I was a stupid teenager. But I will give a point to Super Metroid for being totally wordless and yet still having like a very impactful emotion to it.
I mean, that ending with the mother brain.
Exactly, that was pretty intense.
That's some good stuff.
Yeah.
I do ship Samus with the thing that gives her the map in every level.
Chozo, that's her dad.
What's that?
Isn't that her dad?
It might be.
Oh, wow. No, the map robot thing?
The map robot, yeah.
It's an inanimate object.
Well, you know what? It's 2019. There are no rules. But I will say that both games rely on existing games to provide context for the story. But in the case of Super Metroid, it was relying on a game that was available in English. So I will give it to Super Metroid.
I mean, it's hard for me because I have a deep appreciation of games that are about Metroids in captivity and galaxies at peace. So it's a tough choice. I think I'm going to have to go with Symphony of the Night because when I was 13, it had a very compelling story. And when I'm an adult, it has a very funny story. So that's what I'm going to go with.
Yes.
So it's a game of contrast, as you said.
It's a game of contrast. It's a land of contrast.
Right, bringing it full circle. I'm going to go with Super Metroid on this one just because I really appreciate the almost like pantomime narrative, because at the end, you know, it really does come together and it hits you hard. It's like shocking and surprising, and when you realize what's going on with the gigantic Metroid, the baby.
Yeah, when you enter
room. It's a remarkable piece of kind of diegetic storytelling, and there's a lot of that throughout the game. As much as I love Symphony of the Night, I got to give it to Super Metroid on this one. So that means this is a tiebreaker for you, the audience. Let's reverse it. Symphony of the Night, who wants to vouch for the story in Symphony of the Night? Okay. And Super Metroid?
Oh, wow.
Wow. Definitive.
Wow.
You also love Galaxies at Peace, and I approve. All right, let's talk about the game worlds. I think this is kind of something we've touched on a little bit, but the worlds through which they explore and, you know, the worlds in which these games exist, they're both kind of infinite spaces. That's the essence of Metroidvania in a lot of ways, is you have a space, a contiguous space, and your mission is to explore it and to work your way through it and find cool weapons and stuff as you do so. But, you know, Samus is exploring it's Planet Zebes.
Zebes, back to Zebes.
Got a little mixed up with my canon there. I'm so sorry. It's, you know, basically like five areas, whereas Symphony of the Night takes place in Dracula's castle, which is a creature of chaos that has many areas that shift around, and then there's an upside-down version for some reason. So which of these is the cooler place to explore is my question for you.
I will say we have all been in a giant mansion, right? But have you been in an underground cave where there are cherry blossoms falling from the sky?
Absolutely not.
That is why Super Metroid wins for me.
Just looking at that scenery triggers my allergies.
Lots of pollen.
I am going to give it to Symphony because Super Metroid has areas where I just get so stuck that I get frustrated. Like that's, I think it's in Brinstar. There's have that that pit you can fall down, and they're trying to teach you, the little squirrel Etacoon things are trying to teach you how to wall jump, but I'm like an idiot, like not being able to pull it off, and I just find that like a real slowdown, and I avoid it. I can avoid it now, but when I first played Super Metroid, I was like, wow, this is terrible. And I also have problems with the depths where you're like trying to get the gravity suit and you're just slogging through the mud, and it's just very, it turns like, it really slows down the game, whereas Symphony really keeps up its pace for the whole thing.
The secret to mastering the wall jump in Super Metroid is to have played Strider on NES. If you can do the triangle jump in that game, no game will ever challenge you again.
I never understood why they couldn't make it like as easy as like Mega Man X or something.
Okay. I think the setting of Metroid itself has a lot of unexplored potential, so I want to say the setting itself is better, but in terms of game to game, I think Castlevania has a better world in it, just because there's also more areas, there's more to see. It feels like it's like, even though it's a crazy-ass castle, it feels like it's one, like, castle. Whereas with Super Metroid, it sometimes feels like you open a door and you're in an entirely different biome.
So that was Symphony for you?
Symphony for me.
All right. I guess I have to go with Super Metroid myself, just because, I don't know, there's something about the world and the way so much of it is unexplained when you get to the wrecked ship area.
That's
like,
true.
There's so much happening there, just kind of built into the backgrounds and the view screens, and you're like, what is this ship? Like, it wasn't here the first time I played Metroid. You know, Metroid Zero Mission explains this, maybe, although they said it doesn't, which is, I'm not sure why they would go back on that. But yeah, like, if you look at the screens in the background, you kind of get the sense that, oh, maybe this was, you know, meant to be some sort of Metroid breeding ship or something, and the Metroids broke out. But maybe not. But anyway, there's Robbie the Robot shooting donuts at you. That's, you know, something you don't see every day.
Bad robot.
So yeah, the kind of mystique and the sense of, like, you are inhabiting a lived-in world as opposed to a place created specifically for the purpose of you going and fighting your dad. To me, that lands a little more. So
any game where you fight your dad, I'm going to say wins.
I just have to interject and say, did you know that there's an entire Dragon Force song that's actually written called Symphony of the Night, and it's Alucard singing and saying, like, you know, Father, look into my eyes. It's very dramatic. It's amazing, and you should all listen to it.
I'm going to take your word on that one. And
no, you're right. Every piece of media now is about dads, and I think this was the first one.
I think you're right.
Could have been.
Ever.
Could have been. Well, I mean, technically Metal Gear was, but it wasn't at the time. We didn't know. We didn't know yet. So, folks, which world do you enjoy, you know, inhabiting more when you play a video game? Do you like Super Metroid's enigmatic space or Symphony of the Night's... how would you describe it? Gothic caverns and architecture and...
Hot Topic.
Stabby
Hot Topic, yes.
Hot Topic.
Hot Topic, okay.
It's a Winchester mystery house.
I mean, I really think just because Alucard is a goth emo teen, that doesn't turn the entire castle into a Hot Topic.
When you got skeletons throwing their own bones, it does.
Some of them throw curry. No, wait, that was another symphony. That was another Castlevania game where they throw curry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so who's going to stand up for Super Metroid here? And Symphony? That was exactly the same volume.
That's quite, like, even, yeah.
It's the same. All right, that's a draw. A hero is nothing without someone to be a hero against. So we have to ask, which game has the better enemies? Which has the more interesting villain and also cast of assorted rogues that that do battle with your hero, or actually that your hero does battle with? Anyway, I'm going to go with Symphony of the Night on this one just because, I mean, yeah, it's like, I hate you, Dad, but, you know, Mother Brain does not quote the Bible at you when you defeat her, and I think that's an underappreciated skill in a villain. Just busting out a Bible verse as you die, once again. Also, there's like the graphical tricks that Symphony of the Night uses really make for some surprising and interesting villains, like, or, you know, just random mobs that you fight. The bosses are huge, and the characters you battle, the random minions tend to have interesting effects, like, you know, the ice shade that kind of is transparent
really
and then
cool,
throws
yeah.
ice at you, or you kill a bird and it explodes into feathers. There's the guy whose bird you kill and then he, like, freaks out and goes after you. There's just a lot happening in that game. So I'm going to have to say Symphony of the Night, even though I do hate space pirates.
I do like how in this era of Twitter discourse that the first enemy you fight in the game wants to debate you. But more importantly, there is a Donkey Kong skeleton who throws barrels at you, and that's why it's Symphony of the Night.
I am also unsurprisingly going with Symphony of the Night because I have to admit, as bad as the voice acting is in that game, I still kind of get transported back to like a teenage, like giddy girl when I hear Alucard say, like, in the name of my mother, I will defeat you again. Like, I still think that's badass as hell.
I agree. Although Metroid could have taken it if Mother Brain ever threw a glass of wine like Dracula does. Like, if Mother Brain was just like, come on, let's fight already, I'd be like, all right, you win, Mother Brain.
I'm going to grow now.
Right. If Mother Brain had her voice from Captain N, maybe problematic, but I would go with that.
Levi, what's his face? That
That's
was
right.
Audrey.
Mm-hmm. In Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, that's such a good movie.
I'm sorry, so where did you come in?
I came in on Captain N, the Game Master.
Okay. Yeah.
Symphony of the Night, Symphony of the Night.
I think I also said Symphony, so that's 4. It's kind of a given, but where do we stand, audience? Symphony of the Night, does it take it? Those are the bad guys you just look at and you're like, I can't wait to mess them up. Not in a sexual way. In a very, very straightforward, murderous way.
But also fuck them.
All right. So another one for... That's a straight sweep for Symphony. Well, I guess I didn't poll you guys for Metroid. Metroid enemies, anyone? Yeah, I mean, once you get to those gold space pirates that you can't attack until they, like, land and turn around at you...
That's pretty cool. When they crawl, when you see them for the first time crawling down the walls after like you've activated the electricity in the area, it's kind of creepy and cool.
That's true, but that's one moment versus a whole bunch of guys with giant hammers who run at you and go, "Rah!
Yeah, die!"
All right. So a more meaningful discussion. This is really gets to the heart of Metroidvania, and that is which game has the better progression, the better map structure, the more engrossing journey through the game. Like, what is a Metroidvania? What is a Metroidvania?
What is a Metroidvania?
It is a miserable pile of map secrets that you need to unravel. And so basically with Super Metroid you have Samus as kind of the tool that unlocks the world. I'm not calling Samus a tool, that'd be very rude. But she herself is basically a weapon and a tool all in one. She gains new powers, and those new powers allow her to access new areas while also more effectively killing monsters. So, you know, basically everything you accomplish in Super Metroid is really baked into your character, and so there is this very kind of linear progression of where you can go in the world and, you know, what you can do as a character, even though it is, you know, nonlinear. Symphony of the Night is a bit more abstract. Alucard has an inventory, and he has magic, and he has... what else does he have? He has
transformations,
spells. I think
familiars.
He has rough eyeliner. He has
familiars?
Boots. He has familiars. Yes,
that's true.
Now he gets like the jewel of open that has no purpose except opening two doors. He gets he can carry around maps and buy them, and he can sell garnets that he doesn't need anymore, because why do you need garnets when you're trying to kill Dracula? So it's a messier game in terms of progression. There are certain things you need to do, key elements you need to get, like the jump boots and stuff. Some of those are integral to Alucard, but not so much as in Super Metroid. So you have basically two kind of different philosophies and two different approaches to making the game progression happen and how the game unfolds. So which do you prefer? Which is more elegant or more interesting?
I will say that even though Symphony of the Night has more power-ups and more abilities, I think the ones in Metroid feel more important every time you get one. There are some really lame ones in Symphony where I think one of them is just like you know the names of enemies.
That's not lame. That's how you know like there's a doll from hell after you.
But I'd rather have
missiles. It'd be so hard to get the Chrysigram if you didn't know which enemy was Smoo.
Good old Smoo.
Well, I find them less important. Like every time you get a power-up in Metroid, it does feel like I can do so much more now. Compared to Symphony, which is why it's a much shorter game. But I do like the sense of empowerment that Metroid gives you over Castlevania in general.
All right.
I'm going to have to go with Symphony again because you're absolutely right. It's a mess at times, but that makes it so much more interesting to me. One major problem I have with Metroid is that I feel like I'm being rushed through it, even though I know that I can take my time.
You're just saying the game is too slow and it gets into a slog. I'm confused now.
No, I know, but that stresses me out because I am slow, but this game wants me to go fast to get Samus to take her clothes off or whatever. But the point is, yes, even though Symphony is messy, it's like it was interesting because I would see like a ledge in the library, for example, that was too high up, and I'd be like, oh, well, I don't know what that's about. I guess I'll come back later. And then I get, you know, the jumping stone, and I'm like, oh, okay, I remember that now. But I fully admit that sometimes it's abstract as hell. Like, you have to have the demon familiar to unlock certain things. And it's like, there's nothing that indicates you need the demon to do this job for you. It's just, you stumble upon it by chance. So there's just so much you can potentially miss in that game. But I just love the sensation of, like, having a room that's, like, there. And it's like, oh, this is pretty deep. And you go deeper and deeper and deeper. Or, like, higher and higher and higher. And I didn't really get that sense with Super Metroid.
I sort of have the reverse feeling that I think Super Metroid's much more elegant, and I like games that finish. Like, if any of you are making an indie game that you can finish in 2 hours, I will buy it right now. Like, I have no time. And I remember, even as a kid, when I got to, like, I thought I'd beat it, and then I got to the inverted castle. I was like, fuck you. Like, I was so mad because I thought I had beat a game, and it was like, oh, no, there's a whole other game you got to do now. And I was like, no.
But you got to listen to Final
Battle. I love that. Holy crap. I was, like, shocked when I got the inverted castle, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm sure the real Dracula is just in the throne room. And then it just kept on going and going, and I said, holy God, this is a whole castle. This is amazing.
Yeah, for me, it felt like they were, like, pencils down. Okay, there's another essay now. Like, I just... It was just too much for me, so I'm going to go with Metroid.
All right, so Super Metroid gets another one. And, yeah, I'm going to say Super Metroid also. I feel like it says a lot about Symphony of the Night that the game has to give you warp rooms to get around. There's a lot of backtracking going from place to place, and it's kind of, you know, it's interesting, but it definitely kind of drags on. And once you get down into the inverted castle and you've been all these places back and forth over and over again, you're just kind of like, yeah, okay, whereas Super Metroid does not overstay its welcome, and it makes every area of the game seem meaningful. Even those kind of like big caverns in Meridia where you're like, what's going on here? Eventually you kind of realize, oh, you know, like this is teaching me new skills and showing off powers that I'm going to get later. So yeah, I feel like there's an economy of design with Super Metroid that I really admire, and I feel like that probably is why the game has been so influential on so many other games, because it just, like, it's a lean, mean game that, you know, it doesn't waste a lot of time, and there are a few places where you can get stuck, but I don't feel like there's too many of them as long as you understand why Metroid can't crawl. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and give it to Super Metroid. And, of course, we have to put it to the audience. Super Metroid, which is that the more interesting map progression to, in your opinion, or is it Symphony of the Night? Super Metroid. Symphony fans?
Hmm.
No one. Wow. It's okay. You can be honest. You can speak your feelings even if you're in the minority. You still, your
sad
opinion still matters. All right. So that's another one for Super Metroid. All right. Here's, I keep saying here's something as if each of these categories is somehow meaningful. Here's another category.
Coming down, yeah.
That I've just arbitrarily added to this list. Easter eggs. You know, the little hidden things, the little secrets and details that make each of these games interesting and make it much more than just the surface level experience. In Super Metroid, you have things like there's a glass tube. There's several glass tubes, actually, and one of them is broken and one of them is not. And if you realize you can break glass with your super bomb, then you can actually break that and turn it into a shortcut, but you don't have to. There's like a dead dude outside of Kraid's lair because I guess Kraid is actually much harder than it seems when you fight him as Samus. And there's like space bugs eating him. There's the little dudes who teach you how to wall jump, and eventually you can save them. There's lots of little secrets hidden in Super Metroid, but Symphony of the Night also has a lot of Easter eggs. It has boots that make you like one pixel taller if you wear them, and it has no other advantages whatsoever. There's a fountain when you run past it, it starts to flow blood instead of water. And then, you know, in that same area, there's a vampire who's living in Dracula's castle who is not Dracula. He's a much older, like Nosferatu-looking vampire. And you can go in and fight him right away, but you can also go into his room and then sit down at the table across from him and just hang out. Like, he's not going to attack you until you attack him, because he's a gentleman. So these games have a lot of just bonus things hidden inside of them that make them interesting and really reward people who play them a second time or a third time. And, you know, a mark of a great game is that there's always something new to find every time you replay it. And that's true for both of these games, but which game do you think does it better? Mike?
There's Symphony of the Night for one reason, and this is not a joke. Do you guys remember when you could put the CD, the PlayStation disc, into a CD drive and it had like a music track on the second track?
You tried to throw so much shade.
That's it. That's the only reason, because when I was like 13, that blew my mind, and I'd show friends it. Just the idea of like slipping video game music onto a CD that you could play on a CD player was crazy to me.
Yeah, I actually love that because like
so great.
Alucard's voice is almost like scolding you, like, you're not going to listen to me, are you? And he just plays the music. I am giving it to Symphony, obviously, because there's a million things I could sit here for hours and talk about, but for me, it's the confessional in the chapel where you can sit down and different things happen depending if you're like the one confessing or the one, or like in the priest role. And if you're in the, if you get a confession, you might get the priest to drop communion wine or grape juice in this case, which is really a fantastic detail. But if you sit in the priest area, you might have like someone try to kill you, but you might also have a woman who sits there and cries until you stand up. And some people say that's like Alucard's mother, and I always thought that was an interesting little tidbit.
Okay.
Well, there's less room for Easter eggs in Super Metroid because it's a very serious and somber game where the ultimate goal is to see a woman in a bikini. So Castlevania has a lot more fun with the premise, and I really love Easter eggy items like the platform shoes that raise your character one pixel, and the Technicolor Dreamcoat, which lets you change the color of his cape. So many cool and useless things that are just fun to play with. So I think ultimately there's just more room for fun and secrets in Castlevania, given the tone is a lot goofier.
Yeah, I've got to go with Symphony 2. I love the fact that the Easter games are more integral to the game in Super Metroid, whereas in Symphony of the Night, they're more fun.
Yeah.
But because it does have those RPG mechanics, it has, you know, drop rates and things like that for its enemies, just a huge inventory of things. You can get spells you can learn without even, like, you can beat the game without ever learning any of your spells. It's just, there's a lot to explore. And I've played through this game more times than I care to admit, but I still occasionally stumble across things that I'm like, there's like the luck code, where you can enter a certain code that makes no sense whatsoever as your character name, and all the things that enemies drop will happen much more frequently, so you find all these just weird and different ways to play through the game. So that variety, I think, really counts for a lot. So I've got to go with Symphony of the Night on this one. And yourselves, who wants to stand up for Symphony of the Night for Easter eggs? And Super Metroid, blowing up the tube, anyone? See, I respect that. All right, another clean sweep for Symphony of the Night. So next to the last category here, legacy. Which of these games has had the more impactful legacy? I don't know. Is impactful a word? It sounds like a marker.
Sure, let's make it a word. Day four.
It's like using ask as a verb. I'm sorry, or as a noun. Sorry.
Yeah.
But you know, Super Metroid, I'm going to have to go with Super Metroid because it is like the skeleton, the foundation of so many other games. It, you know, its influence is shown even in Symphony of the Night. So it's kind of unfair. It's almost giving the home team advantage to Super Metroid. But that's where you go with it. Let's poll the audience first. Who thinks Super Metroid has the more significant legacy in other video games? Symphony of the Night, All right, let's respect that. Is this one a given? Let's argue for the devil here, or not.
I'm with Super Metroid.
Okay.
Even I have to go with Super Metroid, even though I do believe that all the tchotchkes that developers tend to add on to their Metroidvanias, for better or for worse, that's totally a Symphony of the Night influence, but as you said, Metroid is the skeleton, and it's a very pretty skeleton.
It's definitely Super Metroid, although Symphony of the Night, I think every game should have death appear and just take away your weapons rather than kill you.
What?
All right, well, this is pretty interesting. We've been through 8 categories, and it's 4-4. So this final category is going to be the one that settles it, unless you guys end up with another draw again. And that is something I call fudge factor. And that is basically like putting all, you know, other considerations aside, which one do you just enjoy more? Which of these games can you go back to over and over again? And this might be the most difficult question, because I think back on how many times I've played through both of these games, and like it's, you know, a dozen or more each. I honestly couldn't say. So I'm going to answer last.
I'm going to say
Bob. I'm going to pick on you.
I will say that Super Metroid is much more digestible. It's like a game you can play through in a few afternoons. I think with Symphony, you want to get into all the weird items and the drops and the systems and, you know, finding every percentage of the map. I think there's a lot more to do in that game. So it's something I don't play nearly as often as Super Metroid, where you can sit down with it and, like I said, in a few afternoons, be at the end. So they're both good, but I like the brevity of Super Metroid, the brevity of the experience.
It is the soul of wit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm very stupid, which is why I'm going with Symphony, because I kind of like that rambling feeling. I love the exploration of the castle and the inverted castle and the way everything comes together, like listening to the music while I explore the castle. Like, and I'm really more of a melee fighter anyway, so I prefer using a sword to using a cannon. So I have played Super Metroid to death, but I have absolutely demolished Symphony of the Night, like just on every platform you can imagine. And when it comes out on the cannon printer, I am there.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Symphony. Just like Super Metroid, I think, is a better game if you want to replay a game start to finish. But like whenever I like set up like an emulator or something, I'll put Symphony first. Like Symphony's the game that like I will noodle around with when I'm bored and play an hour of, or just like mess around, just run around, because it feels a little more open than Super Metroid. But Super Metroid, I think, is like a better start to finish experience. But as far as me, I play Symphony much more.
All right. And, you know, right now it's 1-2, so I'm going to put it to the audience. Fudge Factor, who just loves Super Metroid the most? Like, really make those voices heard. All right, I respect that. It's very good. And what about Symphony of the Night? Who wants to scream for that one? What was that? Which... I didn't bring my decibel meter.
It sounded slightly like Super Metroid.
I say slightest edge to Super Metroid.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, so it's me, the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
All right.
You know what you have to do.
It's Gato Roboto.
Run, like, escape immediately.
Embrace
right,
your destiny.
So to wrap it up, I guess, I don't know, which of these is, like... Super Metroid is an amazing game, but Symphony of the Night is also amazing, and they're both brilliant in different ways. But, you know, I think I kind of come down with Mike on this, you know, in that Super Metroid is a game that if I play it, I want to sit down, sink my teeth into it, and experience the whole thing from start to finish, which, you know, there's something to be said for that. But Symphony is a game where I can just jump in. I can use one of the weird codes or... just go kind of in a weird path through the game, like take a different unexpected route, or, you know, do something like try to beat the game with just bare fists or whatever. Like, there's so many different goofy ways to play it. You can jump into a save file. You can put so many saves on a memory card. Just fill up a Symphony of the Night memory card and just jump in anywhere. And also there's a lot of different versions of Symphony. There's the completely weird and misaimed Saturn version that's full of bizarre additions and strange losses. So I'm going to have to go with Symphony of the Night. So it came down to the wire, but that settles it. It's 5-4 for Castlevania Symphony of the Night. Super Metroid is now erased from history. No, I'm kidding. Super Metroid is an amazing game also, and again, it's had a huge impact on so many other games, much more so than Symphony of the Night. And yeah, I'm glad that they both exist. But I'm also glad that we could all stand here in this audience and, for the sake of the internet and posterity, proclaim once and for all that Alucard isn't a cooler game than Samus. Sorry, Samus. Anyway, I think that pretty much wraps it up, and that's basically our time. So thanks, everyone, for coming out. Enjoyed having you here and enjoyed shouting at you. Thanks, Bob, Nadia, Mike, for meeting.
Yeah. Thank you so much
for coming out.
Do you guys have any words for posterity before we wrap up?
I didn't hear anything.
Do you have any words for posterity before we wrap up?
I will say that they're both winners, but in another more accurate way, Castlevania is the winner.
Yeah, I have to say, like, if you're having a contest of who has the prettiest protagonist, like, it's a deadlock. I can't tell you which one's going to win, but I don't know. I have to say that when I was a young girl, Alucard's fashion sense just blew my mind.
This is really fast. I dressed up as Alucard for Halloween when I was 13.
That's amazing.
And guess what had not broken through the cultural barrier yet?
High heels.
Are you from Helsing?
No, I'm from Florida, so I had to wear a giant white wig, and I was a fat kid.
All right, well, thanks, everyone, for coming out. That wraps it for this panel. But in half an hour, we do have the Dreamcast 20th Anniversary Necromancy Jam. So if you want to stick around for that, you don't have to leave. You can hang around for half an hour in this very exciting auditorium. It's up to you. But thanks again for coming out. And I may see you again in half an hour or now.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.